Hello, I'm Simon and welcome back to the Bookster podcast from inside the SaaS holiday rental software company Bookster, based in Edinburgh, Scotland. Follow along as Bookster discuss their journey and their inner workings. Thank you for joining us and we hope that you find these conversations insightful and ultimately helpful. Now, today I'm joined as always by CEO and co-founder of Bookster, Robin Morris. Robin, hello.
Hello, Simon.
Nice to see you again.
Nice to see you too, yeah.
Today, though, we're also joined by Bookster's support lead, Adam Aaron. Hello, Adam.
Hello, Simon. You've obviously told everyone what I do now, so...
I gave it away. Sorry. Well, perhaps you could explain what support lead means and what your role is.
My role when I started Bookster was actually different. So I've been with Bookster quite a while, but I actually started, I believe the last episode was on Caravan Sitefinder. So I actually started when in those days, and was hired to originally help with a sort of shoot off site for caravans and motorhomes, I believe. Turns out I wasn't very good at it. So had a conversation with Robin one day where he said, how would you like to concentrate a bit more on support? So that's kind of where I've been ever since. Now, we say support lead, we're a fairly small team, so we all, you know, contribute to support. But yeah, I suppose I get to control it, so I'm the lead. Yeah, and I've been doing that I think for most of the time I worked at Bookster now, which is, yeah, quite a while.
Cool. No, great. We'll come back to the size of the business later on, because we haven't had a question from one of our listeners about that, so that ties in well. Last week we were talking, Robin, about the sort of four pillars that the business is structured on.
That's right.
Four key pillars. So what we thought we'd do is we'd take an episode per pillar for the next four sort of episodes, sort of a mini series on the pillars of the business. Today we're going to look at, I guess, pillar one, which is sort of a key pillar for you guys, which is the low barrier to entry. Perhaps you could start off by just telling us what you mean by the terms low barrier to entry and expanding on what we said last week.
Yeah, so basically... it's about being as easy as possible for our clients to sign up to Bookster and get to the point where they are finding it useful. So the low barrier to entry means that this as quick as possible or as easy as possible to get from finding out about us to taking bookings for their properties. And that goes through the whole setup process and et cetera. That summarizes it.
That's it in a nutshell. Okay. So I guess then the next question would be, what are the typical barriers that people would come across normally that you're trying to help them with?
Yeah, so when we first, so I suppose, like, if you look at other software companies in our sector, and we're obviously B2B, so we are business to business, other companies may charge, for example, a setup fee. Now that would be a barrier to entry. Or they don't let someone register for their own account. Or they require that someone has takes out an annual contract. They don't allow them to use the software if... this actually happened yesterday. One of our competitors, we had someone come to us, and the reason why they came to us was that their competitor refused to take them on because they didn't have their own website. So these other companies, they put these barriers up. Now there are reasons for doing that, obviously, that they have potentially good reasons, but we try to, one of our key things is to try and strip those barriers away.
And it clearly working, because you're getting new business from it, I guess, that way of thinking.
Yes, yeah, we do get new business from it. It has its downsides as well. It means that we get quite a lot of people signing up who maybe aren't appropriate for us or for Bookster. So they might be looking to, running a hotel or a, you know, maybe they've got a tennis coaching business or something, or with our name, they're maybe looking to sell books or something like that. I don't know. Adam's maybe got a few of these of people who sign up and it's not quite the best fit for them, so they don't necessarily go through that vetting.
Yeah, sometimes they like Bookster so much they want to use it for other things that it's not designed for. Would be, I suppose, a fairly typical one. It would be great. I think we had a client one time who said, I want to run my customer relationship manager. I want that to be Bookster. Unfortunately, we're property management software, not a customer relationship manager. So it's not something we do, but people tend to like it because of, you know, the low barrier, I suppose.
So, I mean, how does, as a team, I guess, how do you achieve this sort of low barrier for the customer? What's sort of different, I guess? I mean, you've sort of outlined it already, I suppose, but I mean, as working as a small team, does that make it different for clients?
Well, Robin says jump, we say how high. and he says low because it's low barrier to entry. So that's generally the gist of it.
I forgot to warn Simon about your jokes. I suppose it's something sort of, obviously, we've just set up to do that inherently, so allowing people to sign up for an account on their own, and it's trying to allow them to do everything on their own should they want to or be able to. So that's a kind of, you might describe that as a barrier. So they can register themselves, they can create their properties, they can add, connect themselves up to Stripe or PayPal on their own for taking payments. They can connect up to Airbnb on their own with us, without us. They can set their pricing. They can do all of those things on their own. So we have to constantly keep an eye on that and make sure that we are not, adding features or facilities that put a block in the way of that. So that would be one way, one sort of thing, making sure they can do everything on their own. The sort of annual contract thing, for example, now is quite tempting to ask people to sign up for an annual contract, because obviously then they're obliged to use you for a year. But we have to sort of continue to resist that, because we know that's something that some people don't want, basically, they would see would be a barrier. Those are the kinds of barriers. Yeah.
As I say, from a support perspective, one of the things I came across yesterday that could be described as a low barrier to entry, you mentioned connecting to Stripe. When you connect to Stripe, which is the payment processor that most people use with Bookster, it automatically, on Stripe's product, they're also trying to create a low barrier to entry. Hence, they have the same form for registering and logging in. So in other words, if you don't have a login, it will register you. If you do have a login, it will try and log in using the email password, the email address that we pass over. That's not always correct. So from a support perspective, there's some low barriers to entry that we're working in the background to make sure to follow up. To make sure that they've connected the correct Stripe account, for example. You know, do they have more than one Stripe account or more than one login? So low barrier to entry doesn't mean once you're in the deep end. We will obviously, from a support perspective, continue to make sure your head is above water, so to speak. The actions you can take initially might not necessarily be the right actions. So you might connect the wrong Stripe account. How would we resolve that? But the fact that you've done it and were able to do it on your own is still a benefit in terms of getting your customer through a process and getting them on board from, you know, from our perspective and from their perspective as smooth as possible, and asking them the right questions at the right time to, you know, to ensure that process goes as smoothly as possible.
It strikes me perhaps that, you know, if you're encouraging your client, I guess, to be able to do all these things themselves, well, there's two things, actually. One is, from a support point of view, does that mean you have perhaps more work to do sometimes because they'll mess
sometimes,
it up along
yeah.
the route? And
yeah. Sometimes, yeah, yeah. I mean, but that's our problem. Not, you know, it shouldn't be the client's problem. In other words, and I mean, that's it's just one of those things. It's part of reality. You can make technical solutions go so far, but at the end of the day, we are human beings talking to other human beings. You know, there's a lot of just how you relate to people. You know, I think another low barrier to entry could be described as how approachable you are and how personable you are as a company. And I think we do pride ourselves in that. And that is one of the reasons we have probably remained a small team, is because I think it is more, you know, approachable from a client's point of view.
Yeah, being very approachable, and so we have weekly drop-in calls where anyone can just come along and say hi. We've got chat, we've got email, we've got you know, telephone support. So yeah, we're going to cover kind of quality support in the next episode, but that all contributes to the barrier of entry being low, so that, you know, people feel like they've got that support there, they can do it themselves, make some mistakes, but they'll be helped out.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing that I think I did mention this last week or ask about last week, but maybe just try and go over it again, is that with the low barrier to entry sort of pillar, and you're letting customers do their own thing, you're not charging the sort of annual fee, it's a genuine sort of question, are you doing yourselves out of money potentially from the client because you're letting them do so much themselves?
I mean, there are probably always ways to make more money.
It's just an interesting choice, isn't it, to allow the customer to do so much by themselves, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of our competitors would charge, so they would be explicit about it, they would charge a setup fee. So the kind of onboarding is sort of covered by a setup fee, basically. And, you know, those setup fees can be quite large, you know, hundreds and hundreds of pounds, basically £1,000 or whatever, to make sure everything's working. We essentially do that for free. So there is an argument that, yeah, we're losing money by not charging that fee, but you know, we want to make it as easy as possible for people to get themselves up and running. So yeah,
I suppose also the proof, you know, is in the service. So, you know, you can claim software is better because you're charging, you know, this fee up front, but you know, what you'll tend to find is people stick around for a year and then they leave because they're just covering their costs. Whereas we're trying to get people to, you know, to be on board with us as you know, on our journey as much as theirs, I suppose. And it's important that we build that trust in a natural way. I feel like an upfront cost is, you're kind of asking for that trust before you've earned it in some ways, and I think it's important to earn that trust.
Yeah, I mean, that was the other thing I was just sort of thinking while you're talking there. Does your method, the way you do things, does that build trust, you think, with your clients easier than perhaps someone who is only with you because they've paid £1,000 on January and they have to be with you for another year?
I think so. I mean, I would like to think so. You know, I would hope our client testimonials could speak for that. But yeah, I mean, I would say yes. is the answer, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah, everyone's, you know, people have different attitudes to things, I suppose. So there might well be some clients who want to commit to something. They want to pay for a year. They want to, you know, make sure that it's kind of by paying that amount, they've got a contract. So there are clients that would like that too. So, you know, that's, you know, we do have that ability if that's what they want. But yeah, I think waiving those fees makes the barrier lower. The other sort of area, which again maybe we'll cover in more depth later on, but we try to Bookster as a solution is an attempt to cover most bases reasonably well. So we're kind of, jack of all trades isn't maybe the right way, but we're trying to get something in place where it's trying to solve that problem of running a holiday rental business. Now, other software, for example, a good example listeners are instant websites. So you can go in, create an instant website, get it up and running on your own domain super quick. It's quite fixed. There's only a few different styles. It's, you know, relatively, you know, doesn't have a blog section. It doesn't, you know, it's not super flexible, but it does let you get a website up and running super, super fast, like literally 5 minutes. So that's a kind of good example of the philosophy that we brought to that. If you want your own website that's very flexible, you go off, use WordPress, go off, use, you know, Squarespace or something else if you want something that you can mess around with yourself. But inside Bookster, we've got this solution that's fast, simple to use, simple to understand, and very quick. And that kind of applies across, hopefully, across a lot of the bases. You know, it's quick to sign up to Stripe and easy. Hopefully it's relatively quick and easy to get your properties up and running. So that's the philosophy of the software, but it does link into the barrier being low. So it's like, yeah, you can get yourself up and running fast. Hopefully that makes sense.
And I guess it maybe helps because you're a small team that people can do so much themselves potentially and not taking up a lot of staff time to do all this work that other companies would perhaps do with them. Do you know what I mean?
I'm not so sure if that makes a difference being a small team or not. I mean, I would say where a small team comes into that is there's not as much bureaucracy. It's not departments talking to other departments. It's very much more ad hoc, I suppose, in terms of how we deal with that. But I mean, that being said, I'd say it's almost, it's perhaps a subject for another episode, Robin, I don't know. But you know, we've talked in the past about actually, you know, the tendency to just, you know, shout out what we need without distracting, you know, or doing that and distracting other people from their work, because it's such a small and close knit team. There is a tendency sometimes to, you know, to disturb people from doing their job, I suppose. For me, it's just telling, you know, bad jokes, but for other people, it might, you know, it might be, you know, a tendency to, yeah, just be too informal sometimes. So I think there's a balance to be struck there. As far as the size of the team in reference to your question, I don't know that it does make a difference in that regard.
Okay. No, that's cool. I mean, I think, like you said, the sort of size of team, etc., we'll talk about maybe a bit more in the next episode anyway. But I think we've probably sort of gone through most of the questions about low entry, low barrier to entry, unless you have anything else to sort of add to this that you haven't mentioned already.
No, I mean, I suppose only that, I mean, I suppose we briefly covered on that there are some downsides to this approach. Which it is that, yeah, people do sign up and it's not always the right thing for them, or because it's kind of easy to get into. In fact, you know, people sign up when they're actually looking to book a holiday. That is quite common. Because we turn up in those search results. So yeah, our sales guy will follow up with them and say, oh, you know, I see you registered for Bookstore and you haven't done very much, you know, how can we help? And they're like, oh, I was trying to book a holiday.
Or the barrier to entry is lower for us in terms of asking us than asking one of our suppliers directly.
That is true, yeah.
It's an integration. That is very true. So there is that. But,
I think that's, So that, an example of that. So we connect to booking.com, Airbnb, Vrbo, Stripe, say you're talking about now. People have support questions about those services, and they, because we're very accessible, they'll ask us first.
Okay. So I guess, yeah. So there's a danger that your time is taken up by questions that don't necessarily concern you, I guess.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Well, look, I think it's been an interesting chat again. I think it's a great sort of way into these sort of four pillars that you sort of run Bookstore on. Interesting to learn about this one. If anyone has any questions on what they've heard today, it'd be great to email them in to the usual email address, which is podcast@booksterhq.com. We've also got our sister podcast, Smashing Your Holiday Rental Goals. That's out there in the world as well. So check that one out. We'll put a link to that in our show notes here. If you'd like to leave a positive review for this podcast or the Smashing Your Holiday Rental Goals podcast, that would be a great thing to do as well. Thank you both for your time this afternoon.
Thank you.
And we will do this all again very soon. So for now, goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.